Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
She can kill with a smile. She can
Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Presented by Crop Metcalf, official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Johnny Cake Sawville and Eric Bickle. Running a three-man show as Jason is at Pebble Beach playing some golf.
Very fancy.
All right, joining us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, as he does every Friday, it is John Feinstein, best-selling author, Washington Post columnist. He's brought to you by Galtum, located in Tysons, Virginia, or at galtumgolf.com. Visit today to experience the best in golf on and off the course. Galtum, live the game. Good morning, John.
Good morning, fellas. Good for Jason out there playing at Pebble Beach.
Yeah, you know, he works angles. He has this, we have this text machine, and Jason works angles, and he's playing with somebody that he met through the text machine a couple months ago.
Well, cool. I mean, you know, Pebble Beach is a public course.
Right.
It's just extraordinarily expensive to play. I think it's like $450 or $500 bucks.
Yes.
To play out there. But you know what? If you've got the money or if you can get on for free like Jason, I assume, is doing.
Oh, yeah.
Good for you. Harder course to get onto is Cypress Point.
Well, he's playing that one, too.
Oh, is he? So he's really got a connection there.
Yeah, he does.
Great story. Years ago, Bob Knight and Dean Smith used to play golf together a lot. And Knight called to try to get them on Cypress Point and got turned down. And Dean knew somebody who was a member and got him on.
Right.
And Knight was furious, you know, that he got turned down, but that Dean was able to pull a string to get on. But the famous story is that they got to the 16th hole, you know, the famous par three over water, one of the most spectacular holes in golf. And Knight hit a decent tee shot, you know, left of the green. And Dean hit his tee shot over the green to an almost impossible spot. And Knight tells the story that Dean said, you know, this is such a beautiful hole. Why don't we all re-tee and hit again? And Knight said, Dean, there's no way you're not playing that shot. Now, that's the way Knight tells the story. I went back and at some point brought it up to Dean. And Dean's eyes got really narrow and he looked at me and he said, did he tell you that I made four and he made five?
Amazing. Amazing they remember that.
Yeah,
those
competitive
guys
to put it mildly.
I guess they got along. They seem so different.
Oh, no, they were friends. They were friends. And, in fact, in 92, after the sort of infamous Knight-Krzyzewski blow-up at the Final Four in 92, where Knight was mad at Krzyzewski for beating him because that was an act of disloyalty, Knight made a point. He came in to play golf with Dean at Chapel in Chapel Hill. Krzyzewski doesn't play golf, but he made a point of making sure the local media there knew he came in to see Dean play golf with Dean and didn't bother to call Krzyzewski.
Right. Yeah, classic.
That is classic Knight, absolutely.
All right, let's talk about the Nats here a little bit.
Sure.
Obviously the parallels to the Caps are there. I was reluctant personally, John, to do it until they won their first series. But then with the way they beat the Dodgers and how they dispatched the Cardinals, hard not to think this isn't sort of a special run. It does have a lot of sort of similar feelings to the Caps run. I don't know if you feel the same way. Can we only say that, though, if they finish it off?
You know, that's a great question. Look, baseball is unique in that getting to the World Series, being able to say we won the National League pennant, is still a big deal. It's still a big deal to be a pennant winner. You know, getting to the NHL Finals, Stanley Cup Finals, getting to the NBA Finals, even getting to the Super Bowl, you're a conference champion. Nobody sort of looks at that as something to hang a banner over, although teams hang banners for everything nowadays. But to me, winning a pennant is a big deal. And the way they've won it, is a big deal, too, because, you know, they had to come from behind against the Brewers. They were down in the eighth inning against Clayton Kershaw in Game 5 against the Dodgers and then, you know, totally destroyed the Cardinals. I thought they'd beat the Cardinals, as I said to you guys last week. I did not think they'd sweep them. So, yeah, the parallels are absolutely there, especially if they do finish it off, because the Caps came into existence in 74 and finally won a cup in 2018. The Nats came into existence as the Expos in 69, came here in 2005, won a pennant in 2019, won a postseason series in 2019. So there are absolute parallels. By the way, I think I may be one of the few people, it can't be a long list, of people who saw the Expos' first game in 69 and the Nationals' first home game in 2005.
Hmm. But you were at both games?
I was at both games. I was at Shea Stadium as a Mets fan. It was April 8, 69. I remember the date. Mudcat Grant pitched against Tom Seaver, and the Expos won the game 10-9. It was the eighth season for the Mets. They'd never won an opener. But, of course, that season ended pretty well for the Mets.
You just recall that, or you have that like written down somewhere?
I recall it. I remember.
That's crazy.
It is crazy. I remember really stupid stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I really do. I mean, I can name all 26 guys on that Mets team who got full shares, because Bobby Feil was a 26th guy, didn't play in the World Series, but got a full share. But if you ask me, you know what for example, I woke up yesterday and completely had forgotten that I was supposed to speak at a friend of mine's Georgetown law school class. Fortunately, he emailed me, because I got to start writing things down. I just do. I've always gone on my memory to remember commitments, but I've gotten to the point in my life where I can't do that anymore. But if you ask me about completely irrelevant things, like who's won the last 50 World Series, I can tell you.
By the way, John, how did your trip into the Deep South go last week? Where
you know, it was great. It really was. The people at the Mississippi University for Women, which, as I said, is a co-ed school, could not have been nicer. I spoke to their honors students in the afternoon. They asked better questions than any corporate group I've ever been in front of. The dinner ran right on time. The people were terrific to me. It was funny how many people said to me, "Is this your first trip to Mississippi?" You know, as if Mississippi is somewhere on the other side of the world. And of course, you guys know I've been to Mississippi on a number of occasions, but the people couldn't have been nicer. The one thing I was nervous about was driving back to Chattanooga, getting in my car at just about 11 o'clock Eastern time, because it was 10 o'clock in Mississippi, but Chattanooga's on Eastern time. But I sailed through 4 hours, didn't have to stop, had a full tank of gas, and it was all good. It really was. I had a good time.
I want to test you on that game. So I just looked it up. The Expos won 11-10. Who was the Mets leadoff hitter that day?
The Mets leadoff hitter was probably Tommy Agee.
Tommy Agee.
Yeah.
That's impressive. Come on. I don't doubt that he knows.
Expos was Maury Wills.
Yes, right. He had gone to the Expos. Maury Wills, D.C. guy, by the way, you know, grew up here. And Gene Mock was the Expos manager. Gil Hodges was obviously the Mets manager. And it was really disappointing because they bombed Mudcat Grant, but then Seaver couldn't even get out of the fifth inning.
All right, so real quick.
They did come back and win the next day behind Jerry Kuzman, very underrated pitcher.
If it looks like they're going to play the Astros, I mean, who knows, but they're 3-1. Looks like that's probably who their opponent would be. I mean, that's probably the best team in baseball. How do you think the matchup goes for them?
You know, the advantage the Nationals have is that they're able to line up their pitching because they're getting the extra rest since they swept. Who knows whether it'll end tonight or it'll go 6 or 7. The longer it goes, the better for the Nats, obviously. The question is, the starters can't possibly be as good as they were against the Cardinals, can they?
Right.
But I think it's a toss-up series. I really do. The way the Nats have been playing, the way they've been coming through with key hits at key times, dating back again to the wild card game, they got some help from the kid in right field who booted the ball, but the score was already tied even before the error. I will not be shocked if the Nationals win this series at all.
Right.
I won't be shocked if the Astros win, because like you said, they probably are the best team in baseball. We'll see how Verlander does. He didn't pitch well on 3 days rest. Cole has been unbelievable.
Right.
But again, the Nats actually have a deeper starting staff right now because Greinke has been awful in postseason. And that could be a key, how Greinke pitches for the Astros, because he's been bad so far.
Right. You know what's interesting about it is that, let's just say they win or even they don't, in terms of like repeating or kind of, you know, being right there again next year, it's hard to project that with the Nats, not only because of the Rendon situation and the Strasburg situation, but because they're so old and they have so many
older
guys.
They're the oldest team in baseball.
Yeah. So yeah. It's hard to know like where this team is going to be. Let's just assume they miraculously come up with a deal with Rendon that he likes and Stras doesn't opt out. They have so many sort of key pieces this year that are like 34, 35, 36, and they're having great years. I don't know if they'll, even if they come back, I don't know if they'll be able to duplicate it.
And what happens in a championship run is when a guy like Howie Kendrick has his moment.
Yeah.
And you get guys who play over their heads. I mean, to me, the all-time example was Buddy Biancolana. You remember him?
Of course.
He hit like 180 with the Royals as their shortstop, to the point where David Letterman was making fun of him throughout the 85 playoffs. And he ended up, I don't think he was the MVP, but he hit like 400 in the World Series and ended up on the Letterman show, by the way.
Right.
You know, Brian Doyle one year was an MVP for the Yankees in postseason.
Mark Lemke, right?
Mark Lemke was great one year. And who was the Gene Tennis, who was actually a backup catcher for the A's, but then became the starter, or maybe they DH'd him in the American League home games. In the World Series, or maybe that was back when the DHs played in all games. I can't remember. No, it was the year before the DH, so I'm lying.
Yeah.
But Tennis hit like 5 home runs in the 72 World Series against the Reds. So those kind of guys, you're going to win a championship, you need a guy like that or two guys like that beyond your stars. You need Anibal Sanchez giving you the start that he gave you in Game 1 against the Cardinals, that kind of thing. And you're right, so you got to go into next year saying, well, it's not likely that this is going to happen again for these guys. Our stars should still be stars.
Right.
You know, if they re-sign Rendon, and you know what? If they win the World Series, they have to re-sign Rendon.
I would think.
They can't let him get out of town. I mean, first of all, he's a great player, and he's still young. But even if they don't win the World Series, I think it's important that they re-sign him. I don't think Strasburg's going anywhere. I really don't at this point in his career. For one thing, nobody's going to pay him more than the Nats are paying him.
Not much more, I would
say. You know, he's going to be a 31-year-old pitcher next year. You're not going to give him like a 5-year deal, and he's got 3 years left on his Nats deal. So where's he going?
All right.
Other teams will make moves, obviously. The Braves are still going to be very good next year. If the Mets can get the right manager, they could be very good next year. And then, you know, you go through baseball. But the point is, what you want to do is be an organization that contends every year. And the Nats, since 2012, have contended almost every year.
Yep, they've been great. All right, I wanted to ask you quickly about the Bradley Beal deal. It kind of surprised us that he signed that extension. I'm kind of conflicted about it because he seems like a great kid. He's obviously a great player.
Yep.
But I don't really know if it helps or hurts the team with all the money they've got tied up between he and John, et cetera.
Yeah, you know, I read a story in a Post today about how Beal signing is a sign that Tommy Shepard's plan is working, that he believes in it. He signed because of the money.
Yeah.
The Wizards could pay him the most money. And I know for a fact that several friends told him, Bradley, take the money.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, most people will do that. So he took the money, which is all good, and it does give them somebody they can kind of build around. Now, this year, I think you guys know this, 80% of Wall's salary is covered by insurance.
Sure.
In terms of actually paying him money, not in terms of cap.
Doesn't help the cap. That's all I care
about. No, it doesn't help the cap. And the problem is, you know, I was talking to somebody this week about it, and I said, the question was asked, what do the Wizards need to do most to get better? And the obvious answer is to get rid of John Wall.
Right.
But they
good
can't.
Luck.
Yeah. They can't. Nobody's going to touch him.
Right.
He's going to be 30 years old. He's coming off a horrific injury. They've never won anything with him as their star player. So they're going to have to figure out a way, not this year, but next year, to find out what they can get out of John Wall. And whether John Wall, if he's not back to 100%, even if he is back to 100%, which I doubt he will be, is willing to play as a complimentary player. That's never been what his ego is about. But Beal is the guy you build around.
Right.
Hachimura seems to be a good pick. So you start with Beal and Hachimura. You should have enough money next year to go after at least a good to very good free agent, not a superstar necessarily. And you kind of go from there. And the thing you got to do is be patient. I mean, that's hard to say to Wizards fans who've been patient since 1978 now, but that's what you got to do if you're going to rebuild.
All right, Miss softball for you. Tiger announced, I guess he's coming out with his memoir.
And
you
I can't wait.
You know me. I'm a huge Tiger guy, but I think his personality stinks. I'm not sure how good a person he is. I think this is going to maybe be the worst memoir in history. I can't think of a guy that lets you in his world and his emotions less than Tiger Woods.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because Andre Agassi wrote a great memoir.
Yeah, read it.
And he was a guy who was terrible with the media forever. And he wrote a, not surprising that John McEnroe wrote two good ones because he's John McEnroe. That's who he is. But I agree with you. It's interesting. They haven't even announced a writer. Mm-hmm. And from reading the two things came to me reading the press release. One, it sounded like this editor at HarperCollins is going to sort of be the writer, unless they're hiring a writer and they're just not going to name him, because that's the kind of thing Tiger might do. Mm-hmm. You know, on that other book you wrote about the 97 Masters, they hired a guy named Lorne Rubenstein, who's been around forever. But I think if you look at the book, it says by Tiger Woods contributor Lorne Rubenstein. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't even give him like a flat out by title on the cover of the book. So whoever the writer's going to be is going to be very much in the background. And the other thing that came out that's more important was if you read Tiger's quote, basically it says, everybody's lied about me for all these years. It's all been made up. None of what people say happened. And that's why I'm writing this book. So it almost sounds like a revenge book.
Well, then maybe it'll be interesting.
Well, I doubt it.
Yeah.
I doubt it. We're going to hear some more about what a great guy Earl was and you know, you can bet he'll there'll be a chapter in there where he'll say, yeah, I screwed up when I cheated on my wife, and I'm so sorry for it. You know, sort of like his apology speech back in, what was it, 2010. But I'm not counting on I think you're right. I think this will be one of the worst memoirs ever written. It's really too bad because, first of all, he shouldn't be writing a memoir at 44. Mm-hmm. I mean, memoirs should be for later in your life, but I know athletes do it earlier, excuse me. But the other thing is, if he ever did sit down, you know, people, you guys, I think, have asked me, others have asked me, if Tiger came to you, which would never happen, and said, I want you to write my memoir, would you do it? And my answer has always been, only if he was willing to talk about everything, tell the truth, be honest about how he felt about his father cheating on his mother, be honest about what led to, you know, his downfall in the public's eye and how it affected him. And you know, because when he came back after the scandal, I thought he'd just pick up where he left off, that he has no conscience and he'd just come back and be Tiger Woods. But he didn't.
No.
So that tells me he did have some kind of conscience. Yeah. And if he was honest about all that, then it could be a hell of a book. But I don't think he's going to do that.
All right, John, we'll talk to you next week. That's John Feinstein.
Have a great weekend, buddy. Washington.
Thanks, Thanks, guys. You too. Take care.
Thank you. Of course, he's brought to you by Golfdom, located in Tysons, Virginia, or at golfdomgolf.com. Visit today to experience the best in golf on and off the course. Golfdom, live the game. Coming up next, we move Dante Whitner. So we'll get some
inside analysis
of the 49ers, who, of course, are the Redskins' next opponent, right here on the Junkies.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to the show. Junk's on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. We're happy to welcome in on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, Dante Whitner, 49ers analyst for NBC Sports Bay Area, also a former Redskin. Dante's getting it after it nice and early, 5:25 where he's at. I think he's like
grinding.
I think he's doing some yoga. He's doing something healthy. What's up, Dante?
Well, I do my 4:45 meditation, 15, 20 minutes, and then I do yoga at 6 a.m. every morning.
That's impressive.
Are you doing yoga at home, or are you going to a studio?
I'm going to a studio in San Francisco, Knob Hill, hour and a half class, Bikram yoga. It's really good for the mental and the physical. So
I've really been into it. Bikram's hot. It's sweaty and
that's hot. A lot of sweat.
Yeah, I bet you if I take you guys with me, you'll never return.
What's the breakdown of the class in terms of men to women ratio? Sometimes
well,
it's pretty nice for a guy to be
10-2 ratio for men to women. So it's all women primarily, and then
nice.
You know, there's women, and then you know there's different ethnic groups, right? So a lot of different ethnicities, they practice Buddhism and they practice yoga and mindfulness and all these things that I've been getting into over the years that's really helped me remain calm off of the football field, which I believe that a lot of football players should get into this type of thing. You know, it brings calmness and peace to the self and to the person. And then it also helps you with clarity. So, you know, I've been into it.
Dante, what if I am inflexible, and I don't mean like I can't adapt to things. Like my body is inflexible, and I have terrible
stiff as a board,
and I have terrible balance. I'm assuming yoga would help me in some of these phases of my life.
Absolutely, and the balance it translates. It's a metaphor for balance in life and getting close to center, right? So when you're in there and you're practicing and you can't breathe and you feel like you're going to die and faint, you're having a mini heart attack that helps you deal with the things off of the football field and outside of work and outside of your normal day-to-day duties. And, you know, that's where Bikram yoga translates to real life.
It's kind
so
of selling
do
me.
That. You could do that, Cakes, or you could just go home and take a nap.
Or I could see flops.
No,
I could play more poker.
Look, I've never done Bikram yoga, but yoga itself, when you finish a workout, it feels amazing. It's a different feeling than, like, lifting weights or going for a run. There is a high. There's a feeling that you get that's different from all the others, in my opinion.
Absolutely. There's a feeling that you get, not only a feeling, but there's a real meaning behind Bikram yoga. In the world today, we're not too close to center anymore, living in nature, hunting for food, right? There's so much technology, there's cars, you know, there was even horses at one moment. And, you know, people that used to live that way, they were in center. So think about how far away from center we are now, you know, with technology and cars and big cities with apartment buildings and buildings 1,000 feet tall. You know, people just take a time just to slow down for a second, be still. This is when you define peace.
And what happened,
man,
to Dante?
Used to be Dante Hittner,
you know, he's
crushing guys in the NFL.
He's getting me
2-time Pro Bowler.
Dante's getting me in a Zen.
3-time
zen
Pro
spot.
Bowler.
3-time Pro Bowler. My bad.
Don't shortchange him.
No shortchange.
Did you officially change your name to Hittner for a period of time, or try to anyway?
And after I saw how much paperwork I had to do, you know, I was all with it.
Right.
I was all with it, right? I was all with it, you know, ready to go through with the change, put the paperwork in through my lawyer. And they said, well, you're going to have to change every document. So everything that you own, Social Security, birth certificate, child's birth certificate, everything, just for this one letter. I said, okay, I'm okay with it. We're not going to do it.
All right, so let's talk about this this game this weekend with the Niners and the Skins. Skins fans here, we've just lost our way. We've lost our souls.
By the way, he played under Jay Gruden.
Yeah. Played your last season here with the Redskins. It's kind of stunning to us, and it's been a slow burn, but the franchise has bottomed out to where it is right now. Maybe you can touch on that, your year here with the Redskins. And can you believe where they are as a franchise at this point?
Well, it's not hard to understand why they are where they are right now. And I'm going to give you one little story about Jay Gruden, and this is when I lost all respect for Jay Gruden. Last game, Chicago Bears of the regular season when I was there, you know, did my best to play hard. We were going into the playoffs, playing the Chicago Bears, winning the game. I almost tear my quad.
Mm-hmm.
So from what I hear from some of the guys on the sideline, he asks, who was that out there on the ground? He's like, they're like, it's Whitner, coach. He's like, well, let's get him up so we can get this game over with. Don't you ever. No, really. That shows that you have no respect for your players. You know, guys is out there putting their bodies and, you know, well-being on the line for you and for you to make that comment, and I know that you made it. It's the reason that you're fired. It's the reason that your players quit on you because you don't know how to be a people's person and how to coach and lead men. There's guys that know how to lead men, and there's guys that don't know how to lead men, and he should just be a coordinator. He's not a leader of men.
Well, who was your best coach during your career that was a true leader of men?
Vic Fangio, Jim Harbaugh. You know, they really knew how to lead men, and they really knew how to teach the game of football, right? You have the coaches in the Redskins facility, like Perry Fuel and a lot of those guys, they don't know how to teach football. I know more about football than Perry Fuel and a lot of those defensive coordinators than Greg Minuski, right? I know more about the game of football and the secondary and these different things. Like, these guys are just friends of the coaches. You know, a lot of these coaches are just hiring their friends. They're not hiring the best teachers and giving people an opportunity to come in, teach the guys, teach them why you're teaching them what they're teaching them, and then let them go on and have success on the football field. If everybody just continue to hire their friends, the NFL is going to continue to suffer like this. It's going to continue to be a disparity between the great teams and the bad teams in the NFL.
Joined by Dante Whitner, 49ers analyst for NBC Sports Bay Area, also played here for the Redskins. Did a lot of your teammates in that locker room feel the same way that you do, obviously, about Jay Gruden, that he wasn't a great leader? Because the report on him always is player-friendly. You know, players like to play for him, but obviously you did not.
Yeah, but he was one of those guys that, you know, smile on your face and talk behind your back, and you can feel it. You know, it doesn't take much. It doesn't take, you know, a spirit animal to understand that, right? And these guys have been playing for him for years. I was only there for a few months, but I was a lot older than these guys, so I can pick up on those things. And somebody taught me, a guy that taught me how to do that and taught me about Perry Fuel, is Troy Vincent. Troy Vincent, when I was in Buffalo, he pulled me to the side and told me, listen, you see how Perry doesn't come in when we lose football games? And this was the defensive back coach in Washington when I was there.
Right.
And Troy Vincent came in and said, you see how he doesn't come in and say anything to us when we lose, shake anybody's hand, check and see if we're all right. Watch when we win. So we go and win a game. It's for the Buffalo Bills. And here comes Perry Fuel. Oh, guys, oh, everything is great. Troy Vincent taught me that when I was a young player in Buffalo, right? Number 8 pick overall. So once I ended my career and I got around those guys again, it doesn't really care about their players, I was able to witness it and let the players know.
Talking to Dante Whitner, was part of the 2016 Redskins. Now, at that point, Greg Minuski was just a linebackers coach. What were your impressions of Minuski?
Not very positive, apparently.
Yeah.
Was he the linebackers coach then, or defensive line?
He was outside linebackers coach. You also had Kirk
Alvarado. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He's pretty much defensive line. You know, a lot of these defensive linemen, coaches, they know their position. They know how to teach defensive linemen to shoot a gap or run a scheme. They don't know how to tell linebackers to teach them the basics and the details and the intricacies of a linebacker position, or put a detailed scheme together to go out and face a guy like Tom Brady, or know how to disguise against a guy like Tom Brady. If you put Greg Minuski in a room and said, teach me how to disguise a cover 3 and make it look like a cover 4 and make Tom Brady believe it, or show me a Tampa 2 or that looks like a single high coverage and manipulate Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers, he would not be able to do that. He would not be able to do it. So how can you be a defensive coordinator if you don't know how to manipulate the best minds in the NFL? You can't be.
How do you know he doesn't know how to do that? I'm not questioning you. I just like to give more detail.
When I watch the film,
yeah.
When I watch their film, I watch all their games this year.
Yeah,
they're not doing it. The safeties aren't showing certain coverages. I can look at the film and tell exactly what coverage they're playing every time. Why is that? And I'm an outsider.
Yeah, it's so vanilla.
So you think
is what
these quarterbacks?
Saying.
Hold on. You think these quarterbacks that study this for a living for the last 40 years, 30 years, Tom Brady, can't just cut the film on and tell you exactly what coverage they're in?
Right. I'm sure we see Tony Romo doing it every week on the broadcast.
Exactly. But Tony Romo, he's not fooling anybody either. All he's doing is going to the practices and taking the plays throughout the week and then going on TV like he's God. He's not doing anything special. I'm a quarterback for the past how many years? And then I can go with CBS, go to the practices, and I can look at it from the sideline, write a couple of notes down in my notebook, and then see a motion or what side of the field you're in, and then go on TV and speak it like it's like you're like the holiest guy in the world. You're not predicting anything. You're not fooling anybody.
All right, so let's talk about your team there, the Niners, because the Redskins have a tall task this week against the Niners. Jimmy G has an unbelievable record as the starting quarterback. Kyle Shanahan likes to run the football with the zone blocking scheme. What can we expect on Sunday?
You can expect a multitude of everything. These guys have it rolling. They're running the football, a lot of play action. You know, they know what they have to do. They're a physical football team. And they've been in the system for a while. They know what to do. But at the same time, you know, you can be the worst team in the National Football League and play the best team and catch them on a bad day and play a great game, and you can win. Because I've seen sometimes this season where the Redskins, they start and they look great,
mm-hmm.
right? And then it's that second half. You know, it's where, you know, that mental fortitude has to kick in. It's when, you know, things start to get hard. It's when teams make adjustments. Is our coaching staff getting out-coached, or is the players getting outplayed? Because in some of those games in the second half, when things start to go bad, here we go again, right? Oh, we almost made that play. But that's the difference between the good and the bad teams in the National Football League. It's a couple plays, and it's a discipline, and it's not going out, and it's not partying, and it's not hanging out. It's everybody getting together, everybody being real and accountable. When we step in the room, there's no egos. And that's how you win football games.
All right, so you've been critical of the Skins coaching staff, and I think that's fine, that's fair, that's valid. What about the personnel that you see when you watched all their games?
Personnel, I think they have a lot of young receivers. I like McLaurin,
mm-hmm.
you know, and he's out of Ohio State. I have to root for him, but really, you know, he's the real deal. He's used to going up against NFL talent at Ohio State
right.
every day in practice, right? So that's why he's NFL ready. You know, nobody sugarcoated, nobody babied him. He had to go out there and actually work against those guys every day. And that's why when you get in the NFL, guys aren't on their P's and Q's like they are at Ohio State. They're easy to beat. You know, this league is going to be easy for him.
Anybody else?
He's seen it at the highest level.
Anybody else jump out at you as decent or, you know, somebody to watch out for, or is that about it?
I love 23.
Quentin Dunbar.
Quentin Dunbar,
yeah.
You know, he's the best corner on his league. He's the best defensive player on their team.
Yeah.
Bar none. I've seen him come up as a young guy, saw flashes, but consistently now you can't get open on him. He should be regarded as one of the top cornerbacks in the National Football League.
What?
And that's no lie. As far as Josh Norman,
yeah.
Josh Norman was never accountable. He always used to cry to the defensive backs coach, oh, P, talking about Perry Fuel. You know, and Perry Fuel let him get away with a lot of things.
Yeah.
Perry Fuel didn't hold everybody to the accountability level. He would get on young guys and talk bad to young guys, but when it came to guys that he knew was making a lot of money for the team, they could do whatever they want, and he would still go out there and take up for them. And that's where accountability issues come in, right? Everybody has to be accountable. We don't care if you're getting paid $80 million, and we don't care if you're getting paid $250,000. Everybody should be accountable on this football team. It was a time we were in quarters. Against the Carolina Panthers. And one of my high school teammates, Ted Ginn, was over there, right? And we're playing quarters, which means I have number two vertical all the way to the goal line. Josh, you have number one vertical all the way to the goal line. If my number two doesn't go vertical and stops, I can help you. But don't depend on the help, Josh. It's what every coach tells you in the National Football League. So the number one route you get in that coverage is a post. They'll sit somebody down and get a post. Okay, I'm trying to get under it, Josh. Josh, this is your man. Josh looked at me like it's my fault.
Oh, he does.
You are a front runner. Don't do this for TV. You can go back and get it on the game. And I can tell you the exact coverage. Don't do this for TV, Josh. This is your man. That's an accountability issue.
Mm.
Man, talking about the Redskins gets you off center. You might have to go back for more yoga, Dante.
No. I'm just passionate about football.
No, I know.
And I'm passionate about, you know, small things that make you a good football team. And accountability is one of those things. Accountability is what makes you great in life. So if you don't have that on the football field, do you have it in life? Can people count on you to get things done? So that's why they're not having a great season. If they can come up with some accountability in this football game, maybe they might have a chance.
Hey, 30 seconds.
I want to ask him the last question just because I just want you to.
He's
just
so good. I mean,
personality impression. What was your impression of Kirk Cousins?
I love Kirk Cousins.
You did?
Kirk was the nicest guy, most genuine guy you ever met.
Genuine?
Thought he was genuine.
You know? I thought he was Eddie Haskell.
Most genuine.
Type.
Hey, he was in the room.
No, man. He was the most genuine. He had to do what he had to do. Listen, when it comes down to people being on your business and media and you know you're about to make a lot of money
yeah.
and you're making a decision for you and your family, You know, you don't want to just be putting that stuff all out there. When it came down to being a hard worker, understanding that offense, being the one guy, I mean, not one guy, but a few of guys in the building with accountability, you know, he carried that football team. Now you see what's happening. He's out there. Maybe they should have paid him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Real quick, your impression of Bruce while you were there. Did you have much?
Do we have another hour?
No, we didn't really talk much. We didn't talk much.
Dan?
You know. What was that?
Dan Snyder. Do you have an impression of Dan?
Yeah, I love Dan Snyder. Oh. I love Dan Snyder.
You're losing credibility
Absolutely.
Now, Dante.
No. I love Dan Snyder. He was always good to me. I can't go based on what everybody else says or how he treated them. I can only go based on how you treat me as an individual. Mm-hmm. So that's how I judge people.
Good to players. Yeah. That doesn't mean he runs the organization well.
Right.
Well, maybe he has somebody to run it well, but as far as the way he treated me, right? And as far as the way, as long, I mean, he gave Gruden how long?
6 years.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's a good guy, man. He doesn't just jump, you know, when it comes to that. I mean, what do you want me to say? I mean, he's a good guy when it comes to that. He's good to me. And that's all I know.
Well, I appreciate your opinion and your perspective on it all. Thank you, Dante. Thank you so much.
Thank you. You have a good one.
All right, you too. Dante
Thanks
Whitner
for the time.
Wanted to be known as Dante Hittner, but
man,
it was too much paperwork.
That was explosive.
You know what? That's worth
stuff.
People listening to that podcast.
Absolutely.
Or the rewind function on
rewind.
The stream.
Got to promote something new.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling that's going to be heard on the Junks pregame show over the weekend
yes.
as well.
Lots,
that was Dante Hittner
in there.
On a Football Friday presented by the Sportsbook of Hollywood Casino. Charlestown, every game, every bet for real sports fans. Coming up next, Lars Eller. Center Ice Lars Eller next here on the Junkies.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Junkies on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Time now for Center Ice with Lars Eller. Driven by AAA. Go to AAA.com and hit the road with confidence. Punch him up.
Good morning, Lars. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I'm doing great.
It's a game day. Rangers coming in. But I want to go back to the Avs game from earlier in the week. How weird was it to see your guy, Andrei Burakovsky, in an Avs uniform, making his return to Capital One. Grubby was in net, too. It was like a Caps alumni game when you faced the Avs.
Yeah, that was quite weird. You know, I'd been playing with Andrei on my, you know, on my right wing for the better part of the last 3 years. So, that was unusual. But, again, it happens all the time in this business. Things change and you move on, but the first time you see a guy you play with a lot, it's always a little weird.
And that also weird was the 5 p.m. puck drop, and I looked down at my phone at about 5:25. You guys were in a 4-0 hole. I mean, that was a weird start to that game. You got the first goal against Grubby, couldn't quite come all the way back, but that game was just kind of weird all the way around.
Yeah, it was. I think everything that could go wrong for us in the beginning did. I think we were a little bit on our heels coming in, and they came out. You know, Colorado's an explosive team. And you know, everything was just going right for them. Every chance they capitalized on, and all of a sudden it was just, you know, it snowballed, and you're down 4-0 after 10, and it's a steep mountain to climb after that. Even though we tried.
Joined by Lars Eller, Capitals center. How would you kind of describe the start to the season?
I think it's been acceptable.
Acceptable.
I think
it certainly hasn't been exceptional.
No, not exceptional. you know, I think that the foundation is there for us to build on. I think we've been playing good hockey the majority of the time. I think, you know, some games we had the lead going into the third, we've taken it down a notch a little bit. Maybe because we thought we could, and we got punished. And you know, maybe that's a good thing going forward that we can learn from and grow as a team and learn from those mistakes. But I think in general the game is trending the right way, maybe with the exception of one period against the Avs here the other day.
We're joined by Lars Eller, Center Ice with Lars Eller, is driven by AAA. Go to AAA.com and hit the road with confidence. Your guy, Nicky Backstrom, recently played in his 900th NHL game. I looked up your game logs, your career stats. You're at 693. Do you ever look at, like, the top of the games played list? You're only 1,074 games away from breaking Gordie Howe's record of 1,767. I mean, getting to 900 is a huge accomplishment. Doing what you've done is awesome, too. You're near 700. But, I mean, Gordie Howe almost played in 1,800 games. That's crazy.
Yeah. You know, none of us are going to catch that guy.
Right.
We don't have our eyes on him. But, you know, I think the big milestone for a lot of guys in this league is 1,000 games. If you can do that, then you accomplish something very special. And it definitely looks like, I'm pretty confident Nick is going to get to that milestone. Just playing 900 is amazing and played at the level he has. Because I think the average career for an NHL player is probably like less than 3 seasons. So every time you get above that and just close to 1,000, you've done something special.
Lars, looking at tonight's game against the Rangers, kind of weird scheduling so far. The Caps have played 8 games. The Rangers have only played 4, but they're coming in off a loss last night to the Devils. When you guys get a game against a team in the second game of a back-to-back in your building, can you see just in the way they're skating and playing that, oh, these guys definitely played last night. They're tired. We're going to try to jump on them early.
Sometimes I think yes. I think that maybe, Toronto maybe last game here, I thought they probably didn't have great jump as the game went on. Maybe, you know, I've seen them play better. And sometimes you feel better. I've tried a lot of games where I feel better on the second day of a back-to-back, especially at the beginning of the game. So it's a little hit and miss sometimes. But of course, traveling and stuff right after and it can wear you out, especially in the second half of the season.
What's gotten into John Carlson early? Third in the league in points with 14. He's got 11 assists already through just 8 games. Is Nick Backstrom jealous that he only has 5, I believe, at this point?
That's not the kind of guy he is. I mean, but that's how good John is. I think whenever something, you know, most of the time when something good has been happening on our team, we've been scoring goals, it's been going through John. Like, he seems to have a hand in that every time. He's really good both sides of the puck, and right now, you know, he's just everything is going through him somehow, and it ends up in the net. So he's just playing to the level he's capable of playing, I think.
Well, Lars, best of luck tonight against the Rangers. You're gonna have a special celebrity guest doing the puck drop. I think people know him in this town. His name is Max Scherzer. So
that should get
Capital One up on their feet nice and early tonight.
It should, and rightfully so.
Yeah, definitely.
Very right, cool.
Best of luck tonight and on the road trip upcoming. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
Yep, thank you, Lars.
All right. Wow, I didn't know Max was doing that.
Yeah, dropping the puck tonight in Capital One.
It's got time
it should
off.
Be raucous.
I really like that relationship between those two teams.
The synergy's awesome.
I mean, I think it's BS because I know there have been a few times where the Redskins have tweeted congratulations to the Nats, but I think it's few and far between.
Right.
Have they done anything recently since they got into the World Series?
The Redskins?
Yeah, have the Redskins?
I'm not sure.
Other than a congratulatory tweet?
Yeah, have they even done
I
that?
I don't think so.
Have they even done that?
Yeah, I think they did.
They did do that. It's kind of they have to after all the scrutiny.
But I mean, Matt, remember last, I think it was during the Stanley Cup run, Max and Ryan were in the crowd doing the Let's Go Caps chant.
It's a great
Max
relationship.
Max had the helmet.
I mean, they're passing around the Nats batting helmet to the team MVP after each game this season. There's a lot going on between those two teams.
I know Ted congratulated him on Twitter.
Yeah.
What do you think would happen if Dan Snyder opened a Twitter account? It would be S-storm.
I mean, to be a little fair to the Redskins. The Redskins practice all the way at Ashburn, Virginia. The players are all the way out there, whereas Capitals players and Nationals players live close by, kind of right in kind of the same spot.
Yeah, but they're all sort of under the same D.C. umbrella.
Yeah, I'm trying to give a little out.
Right.
It's about the own.
You're giving a little credit.
But look, one's a really good owner and a good franchise, or several franchises, because he's got the Mystics.
Yep.
Title town, baby. Mystics and Caps. And there's definitely a kinship there.
Yeah, there's a loser.
All right. Are we going to play some of the Whitner interview back?
I think we'll play some clips.
For people who missed it. And should remind people, because this is a new thing that we're promoting, because it's a new and improved Raider.com feature. You can now rewind, if you listen to this station, up to 24 hours. So if you miss part of the show, like you're just tuning in now, and maybe you caught the very last minute of the Dante Whitner interview, you can rewind and listen to the whole thing.
Yeah, but if you want, we'll play a few clips, and if you want to chime in, I mean, he basically trashed Jay, Minuski,
Perry Fuel,
Josh Norman, even threw Tony Romo under the bus. I mean, it was a throwaway line, and he just decided to trash him.
Whitner played with the Redskins just a few years ago. Under Jay Gruden and all of those coaches. So maybe we'll play some of those clips. Your reaction if you want to chime in. 800-636-1067.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.